So this morning we're finishing up this booklet with Encourage One Another. This passage comes out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. And it says, therefore encourage one another and build up one another just as you are doing. And this isn't the first time he mentions it. He mentions it again in chapter 4 in verse 18. He says, therefore encourage one another with these words. So if you think about the context of this, he's encouraging them in not being worried or concerned about those that had already died and wondering what was going to happen to them. And what's going to happen to those that are alive? Are they going to just miss the Lord coming again? So he spends time talking about that, and then he says these words, encourage one another, because people's faith was getting shaken a little bit by these questions and concerns that they have. And so as we think about this idea of encouraging one another, that's what we want to do as a part of the local body. We want to continue to encourage each other in these kinds of things, and especially if there's doubts or questions that people have in their minds about things, we want to build them up and encourage them. The local body, our membership here is part of a community. We have an association with each other. And there's some that may believe that, well, I can be part of the church, but I don't have to be part of a local body. Well, if you think about all these things that we've talked about, that's not possible. You have to be members of one another. You have to serve one another. How do you do that if you're not part of a local body? And so we can't live in isolation. And we have to realize that if we're going to have the right kind of relationships that we're talking about here with each other, that it starts with our vertical relationship with God. That has to be right. And if we love God, John says, then we'll love our brothers. So we see the vertical and the horizontal aspect of our service to the Lord. So we have to realize that, you know, as a Christian, we're called out of the world into Christ, which means we have a complete different relationship. We can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. That doesn't work. So we have to be all in. So as we think about this kind of idea, we have a responsibility to encourage one another. And if you look at Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, it says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. But notice it says, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day of drawing near. So we think about the function of the local church, the local body. In this passage, we're told to encourage one another, to assemble. When we assemble, that's an opportunity to encourage each other, to stir each other up in good works and love. And if we go back to even when Jesus was here, he talked about terms of discipleship. And he says, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So as we kind of think about that, and we think about this question, what expectation of Christ is the expectation of Christ of his disciples? Think about these passages. Think about these thoughts. What's the expectation Jesus has for us? What do you think? If we're truly going to be a follower. Yeah, John.
Knowing what God has done for us in love, we then are encouraged by his passages to love one another.
Yeah.
Which, of course, requires us then to pass on encouragement.
Yeah. If we're in Christ, we have that model of Jesus Christ, that we see how much he did for other people, willing to even lay down his life for those that were even considered his enemies. Think about that. That's tremendous love. What else? Other thoughts? Yep.
Yeah, Dave, Christ expects us to be with him one day. And that just balloons out to the love that we show for him, you said it earlier, just blossoms and falls on all others. And in order to go there, we have to accomplish different specifications. And those specifications include loving one another.
Yeah.
Taking care of one another.
Yeah. And just to build on that, look at this next question here. What motivates us to encourage one another? We're talking about encouraging one another. What's the motivating factor behind that? It's love, right? Now, this is where, in our lesson, we come full circle, because our very first lesson was on what? Love one another. And if we're going to serve, if we're going to admonish, if we're going to submit to, if we're going to do all those things, what motivates those kinds of actions? It's love for one another. At the foundational level, that's really what drives and pushes us that way. Any other thoughts on that before we keep moving? Yep, Alan. And that's the big picture here, right? If we look at this verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, the context before it was talking about the day of the Lord. It was talking about what it's going to be like when Jesus comes again. And he wants people to be comforted by those words. Don't lose sight of that. That's really the end game. That's the real focus here. And the encouraging words that we have here are the same for us today. So let's keep going. When we think about this idea of encouraging one another, we're talking about some key elements that include commending others or complimenting others. These are things that we look at. And we have a few scriptures here to kind of give us the idea around that. We can think about Paul in Colossians 2, verse 1 through 2. It says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, and for those at Laodicea, and for all those who have not seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ." So here Paul is encouraging people who have never seen him. He's never seen them. But he still takes a moment to write to them and encourage them. But that didn't stop him from doing what he felt was necessary to encourage people. As a matter of fact, he took specific action. It says, "I have sent him," talking about Tychicus. He says, "I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how you are you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts." So Paul wasn't able to go to Laodicea in these places, but he was able to send somebody to make sure that encouragement took place. Sometimes you've heard the expression, we can't be in 20 places at one time. That happens like every day at work for me. And I get triple booked in meetings and I can only go to one. I have to pick. And so Paul couldn't be in all these places at the same time. But that didn't stop him from figuring out a way to encourage others. We think about this even broader. This idea of encouraging one another is a responsibility for every believer. Notice Hebrews 3:12-13. It says, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil heart, in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God." But notice it says, "But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." How urgent, how necessary is encouragement to each other? How important do you think it is? It's huge. Daily, okay? This isn't something we do once a week on Sunday. It's something that we do daily. It's a part of our life. It's how we operate. And there's a little bit of a sense of urgency here. What if we don't take that kind of daily action? We see somebody in trouble or hurting or you know, dealing with some situation, and we don't encourage them. What could happen? What do you think? What could happen to that person? Okay. They could become They could drown in doubt, despair, whatever the case may be. So we have an opportunity not to let them just continue that thinking, because it could be discouraging. And then we have this example here, and we're going to spend more time next week talking about Barnabas, but I just want to kind of introduce this thought here. Barnabas was called the son of encouragement. And it says there in Acts 11, verse 23, when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad and exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. That's encouraging. Barnabas was called the son of encouragement. He didn't miss an opportunity to go and encourage somebody. He was a preacher, but he wasn't Paul. He was different, and Paul wasn't a Barnabas. And so Paul's and Barnabas's in the church are all needed in order for the church to work effectively together. So thinking about that, what did Barnabas do here with these brethren? What specific action? What did he encourage them to do? Don't be shy. Just think about this for, that's exactly right, but think about this. In Acts 11, that's not too much time past Acts chapter 8 and chapter 7 when Saul was doing what? Persecuting the church. So here's Barnabas seeing what was going on and seeing how that would impact other people and putting himself in their shoes. He wanted to make sure that he encouraged them to remain strong in the Lord. There was a lot of persecution going on. There were people getting thrown in prison. And there were things happening, with the membership there at that time. So let me ask you this question. What would a Barnabas look like in the church today? What do you think? What should a Barnabas look like? Every one of us. Every one of us are Barnabas. We have an opportunity to do exactly the same thing with each other. Anything else on this before we keep moving? Yes. Yeah, and isn't it interesting when we encourage other people, who else gets encouraged? Ourselves. And so there's just an opportunity that we have. When we feel discouraged, one of the best things that we can do is what? Encourage someone else. Because 9 times out of 10, we're going to get built up ourselves by doing that. And so, good point. Anything else on that? Yeah, Josh. Yeah, and if you don't do that here, and you don't do that during the week, you're not going to be doing it at all. So, yep, Nathan, did you have your hand? Oh, sorry, Eric, go ahead. Yeah. Very good. Yep, Al.
One thing about whenever we come into services, lunch is wait. We have friends that are Christians here that we can talk to, and it goes on a lot better than the rest of the day if you do that.
Yeah, agree. Paul, did you have a comment?
Yes. What we're talking about is really fantastic stuff. But sometimes the burden, once again, falls on us. Say I'm having a bad day. Say I can go to prayer. You've got to open yourself up to call someone and say, well, I'm having a rough day. You know, can we talk? Or you have to open up yourself a little bit to help sometimes to get response.
Yeah.
To build you up.
Good point. I mean, I may not know that you're discouraged, and if you don't let anybody know, then... And then you feel bad. It's like nobody's reaching out and helping me. Well, nobody knew that there was a problem. So, two-way street. I firmly agree with that. So there's four things our material talks about that we need to know. The first one is God is the author of encouragement. We talked about it, but when we talk about enduring hardships and things of that nature, I think about Paul and his list of persecutions and things that he went through there in 2 Corinthians 11, and he talked about his imprisonments and beatings and shipwreck and all these things that he went through for the sake of the gospel of Christ. And how was it that he was able to get through those things? Romans 15 and 5 gives us a little bit of a glimpse into how he saw things. He says, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ. So where did he attribute this ability to be able to endure all these hardships and difficulties? He attributed it to the source. It was God, who is the author of endurance and encouragement. If we want to get encouragement, where do we go? We go to the source. And that's kind of the idea here. And then he says in Philippians 2 and verse 1, he says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, if we want to be encouraged, where do we go? We go to God. We go to Christ. And that's where we get our encouragement. And we think about this whole idea of encouragement. The word literally means to put courage in. It's kind of like your gas tank. You ever run low on fuel and the little light comes on? And what happens if you ignore the little light? You're going to end up on the side of the road somewhere. Sometimes we got to put some courage in our spiritual gas tank to keep going. And it runs low sometimes, and we need encouragement. And that's kind of the idea here. And the way God does that is through His Word. And we have, I really like the emails we get for the daily Bible reading. There's a calendar. It's a way to get us into staying in the Word every day. And we need to do that. We get encouragement through God's Word. When we pray to God, we get encouragement through prayer. When we talk about other people, we pray about other people. We get encouragement from that. We offer our request up to Him. When we think about God's promises, His precious promises that He's made to us, this is another source of encouragement. We see that throughout the course of time. And then when we see members loving one another and serving one another and doing what they need to do, that's encouraging too. So these are ways that we get encouragement. So here's kind of the thought here and the question. I don't know if you've heard this expression before, but it says, preach to broken hearts. There is one in every pew. And, you know, if we really think about that, we're all sinners. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's things going on in our lives more than what we see with the names that are in this bulletin. There's a whole lot more going on, and we just need to be in touch with that. So as we think about that, what are some practical ways that we can encourage other people who are hurting? What do you think? Practical ways. What can we do? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you have to take action, right? And you have to be aware of what's going on. I mean, this is a great source, but if we don't get to know each other, we don't have people over, we don't get to know each other, it's kind of hard to know what kind of problems or things that people are having or they need. What else? Other thoughts? Practical ways, yeah. That's a great idea. Yep. And I would, that's a great thought that you bring. That's probably our number one challenge is time management, right? We've got 50 million irons in the fire. There's things going on, you know, and we just have to figure out, okay, some of these things are just not going to get done. Here's what we're going to do. You know, we're going to go here or there. So some decisions have to be made. Some sacrifices have to be made, but we have to be in touch with what's going on with other people. Anything else on that before we move on? Yeah, Steve. Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right, Steve. The other thing that we want to think about is the basis of encouragement is truth. And we think about truth and love. These things are essential. In Ephesians 4 and verse 15, it says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. And we think about speaking the truth in love, this idea here, we can't have the extremes. We can't speak truth alone. We can't speak in love alone. And we can say something that's right, but we can say it in the wrong way. Or we can say something that's wrong and we can say it in the right way. And those are the extremes. And what we got to think about here is speaking the truth in love. What does that mean? When you think about the philosophy today, I read a book, you know, many years ago in school, and the title of it, I still remember. I don't have it anymore. It was called I'm Okay, You're Okay. And anyone remember that? Okay. It was a big philosophical thing at the time. And I remember reading it, and I was struck by, this doesn't sound right. Just tolerate everything. And that's kind of the philosophy today. Let's be tolerant of any behavior. Do whatever we want. And live happily ever after in harmony. Right? That was kind of the idea, you know, and so, of course we know that that's not true. When we speak the truth in love, it should be accepted, right? But sometimes people still don't want to hear the truth and they're offended by it or they don't like it, right? But we have to do everything we can, to speak the truth in love. When we talk about encouraging members of the body of Christ, we have to speak the truth in love. We have to make sure our motive is right behind the words that we say. And so when we think about searching the scriptures and gaining encouragement and we look at those things and we know we have some examples of how to encourage others, we can look at a few here. Titus 1 verse 9, it says, he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. So this is Paul giving instruction to Timothy and emphasizing the importance of the word being taught, and not just the word, but that it's sound doctrine. We need to make sure that what we're saying is right. If it's not, then we could do a lot of damage, right? And so That's kind of the idea, especially a preacher. And we've seen that happen in various denominational circles today. Paul tells Timothy, he says, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, and with complete patience and teaching. Again, here's this encouragement to Timothy in his preaching. This is how you need to be preaching. This is how you need to be thinking about that. Sometimes we need to encourage others, and maybe they're a young preacher or somebody just starting out. We can say some encouraging words like that. Here's some advice that Paul gave to Timothy that could really help you. We can leverage it, that same advice for others. And then, as we pointed out in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, therefore encourage one another with these words, thinking about questions and doubts or things that people have in their minds about things. We can offer up some words of encouragement. So when we think about this idea this morning, why is both love and truth essential to encouragement? And what can we do before and after services to know difficulties, the difficulties of others, and encourage them? So kind of two-part question there, but kind of linked. So think about that for just a minute. Why is it important? Start with that one. No? And if you push one more than the other, or you're going to get out of balance. What else? Other thoughts? Yep.
Trying to encourage to do the right thing. So if our encouragement leads someone to a point where they make the wrong choice, that's not encouragement.
Yeah.
It's leading them astray.
Yeah. What about at services when we're here? If we're here a few minutes before or after, is there an opportunity to encourage someone? Yeah. I mean, to Josh's point, it's kind of hard to get to know them in a very brief time frame, but there's an opportunity for those that we know to encourage them if we know there's a problem or something. And we can find out more and maybe, hey, let's go sit and have some coffee somewhere or something, right? Anything else on this before we move on? Yep, Lane. Just has to be done in the right way, and it's kind of hard. And you're not going to know unless you do what? Practice and do it. You may not get it all right, you know, right out of the gate, but you got to practice. Yeah, Nathan. Because even though we take attendance, we don't always know, right? And somebody does, so that's a good point. All right, let's keep moving. So the other thing that we want to know is that we need to encourage to continue in faith and stay focused. Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. So for some of you that have been in farming and maybe used a plow like Jesus is talking about, I don't think we use that anymore. Let's try this. Let's try a car. If you're driving in a car and you look in the rearview mirror constantly and you're driving, what do you think's going to happen? Or maybe texting. That's the same kind of thing, right? You're going to end up over here and you potentially could end off veering off course. So the whole idea here is he's using this example to get people to think about the importance of staying focused and when we think about the kingdom of God. And we're going to face temptation, and there's going to be some tendency to go back to our old muscle memory. But we need to do everything we can do to encourage others and not grow weary in that. It's easy to become weary in all the good things that we do because we may feel underappreciated or that it was, you know, not received with gratitude, or, you know, somebody questioned your motives, or, I mean, you could go down a whole list of things, right? But he's saying don't grow weary in well-doing. Continue to do those things. And in Genesis 4 and verse 18, God asked Cain this question. He says, am I my brother's keeper? What's the answer to that question? Yes, we are our brother's keeper. And we have a duty and responsibility to do that. And we're not going to have time to go through these, but think about, you know, areas where we can encourage somebody. We do that at invitations, right? We encourage someone to respond to the gospel. We try to do that. We talked about our care groups and the bulletin and the opportunity that we have to communicate those kind of things. You know, you can think about how families encourage each other. These are things that can help us with how we should think about our encouragement to others. So, you know, as we think about this last part, the local church is the place of encouragement. Share stories of strength to motivate people. There's this analogy to Alcoholics Anonymous or Gamblers Anonymous, but there are a lot of them out there where people go to have this community and admit, hey, I've got a problem, and share stories and help people overcome challenges or provide solutions to things. That same kind of idea is true with the local body. When we think about encouraging each other, we have that kind of association and try to help each other. And we have to really show that we care. It's not enough to just say, how you're doing, call me later if you have a chance. We've got to get involved. And you think about the Good Samaritan. This is probably the good story to end on, but it's one that, you know, in my mind, this Good Samaritan sees this person take, he sees a problem. He takes ownership of that problem. He develops a plan and works a plan to address it. So, see it, own it, work it. That's kind of the idea when we think about encouragement. We have an opportunity to go and do likewise. So, anything else on this before we wrap up? All right. We talked about these things, and we'll continue to deal with that next week. So.